Devices Radio Network.
Blood, sweat, and gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try any of this at home. Welcome back to Blood.
The gut is to male bodybuilding as the face would be to female bodybuilding.
There you go.
If that makes sense.
Keeps it culturally relevant and marketable is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's how do physique women train differently than...
There you go.
Fair enough.
We'll just start it up.
Mr. Incognito over there with... you guys can't see it. That's a bummer. I can see more. You guys can see more than the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. Everybody saw that.
Shell hanging over your posing trunks.
Right.
So.
Well, it makes me wonder almost if, like, the worst phrase that's ever been introduced to the bodybuilding world is next Mr. Olympia. Like, prime example, you look at someone like Trey Brewer, who showed an incredible amount of promise, you know, when he won the
It's when you're a kid or you don't have much money. Me, I was the latter. I was working third shift in a small town. I was, like, a little over 20 years old, 22 years old, just married.
Yeah.
And didn't have enough money, so I would take those stick pins that you put in, like, footboard, right? And you put a blanket up. And what's
he could have gone slower and probably retained his lines, retained tighter skin, better conditioning, worked smart to bring up his lagging upper body parts, et cetera, et cetera. And in 5 to 6 years, been an incredibly dominant, complete bodybuilder. But instead, he tried getting there overnight.
I don't think that is white trash. I'm just be honest. That is white trash right there. You know it. I admit it.
Or you I'm said young people. No. You were white trash at the time is what you're saying.
Yeah, but in his own little kid way, he's like.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. Like, you look at bodybuilders. Everyone talks about the guys in the 90s and whatnot. Well, they didn't have nearly as much exposure, so they didn't have to get there overnight. You know, they could take their time and do things intelligently. So in a lot of ways, it's almost like the more money that's been put into the industry and the more.
I love it.
I don't know. It's not my room. I just use it. Because I use his, whatever this thing is, I'm looking into this this laptop thing. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, he likes it that way.
You see pictures of people that are either in gnarly shape or they have huge mass gains in the off season. So you have that constant pressure on your back of having to keep up with these people when you're not considering that it's in the perfect lighting and the perfect circumstance.
I saw, Skip, you recently did post that picture of the syringe box on the back of the toilet at the Miami Iron. I remember initially you said you just sent that to us, like, privately, but you finally came around to doing that, taking that out into the world, huh?
What?
Like, what is it? Alexei Lesukov, same thing. Like, all these guys that were young and just had super promising careers and just seemingly made decisions, I'm assuming primarily with their pharmacology and partially with their nutrition, but either way, somehow took an incredible...
off-putting to somebody if they're not that hardcore. Here's what's funny. If you went to the reviews on Yelp or whatever else for this gym, it's this thing about how... You can put that on my bonus list. Starting in front of mirrors, this rap trend.
I mean, there just didn't seem to be... Like, even going into USA's, there were a lot of names. I'm like, wow, this is going to be a tough show. And I think overall the consensus was the show was a lot weaker than expected.
Well,
and go ahead.
You're going to have that, too, because if you think about what's going to happen in the next...
The bent-up cementing nose, pent up like I'm fenced up in Mexico. And fed up because the feds work for Texaco. Set egg rolls to the question on the egg.
It's old. Like I say, we live in an age now where these franchise gyms...
I think women's physique total gave out 24 pro cards, if I might be mistaken. But at what point... Does everybody get a pro card too?
No, and the funny thing is, it's exactly what I was thinking, and it's exactly where I was going to go with this. You know, I
sense that there's marks all over the wall from plates. It's dingy, it's dark because it's black. Everything is black, so it makes it look even smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost, and I hate to say this because it may sound kind of shitty, but if
bodybuilder to anything I could ever dream of being. You know, so I don't mean to be critical or quote unquote be a hater.
Right.
It's not my point. But my point is, if you're fourth place in the open and now you get a pro card in the master's class, like, what do you possibly hope to do with that as a pro?
I mean, and when I say sweat, it's fucking downpour. Like,
yeah, cause it's
coming.
Miami.
It's coming.
Yeah.
And So they don't have garage. It's like my only negative critique.
Okay.
And it's hardly a negative, but they don't have the garage doors to open.
They couldn't get there. Oh, well, here you go. By default, you're a pro now. Show up enough times, you're going to be a pro. You just got to play the odds, pick the right classes, and if you pay enough $300 entry fees, you know, the lottery is going to pay off.
Right.
So, but, you know, from a fan's perspective, it kind of sucked.
So, but those old, you know, that old school garage site, throw them open. You know, everybody's outside dragging sleds and flipping tires. It's cool. I like shit like that.
Huh.
So it's not for the place isn't for everybody, but that's why people like myself like places like.
It seems like 1 in 10 chance you're going to turn pro. So I don't understand why it's called the North American Championships when everybody gets to be involved anyway. I mean, right. You have to thin the herd at some point.
Yeah. Well, and especially, you know, all of.
They were in another location first and they moved to this other one, I don't know, 4 years ago maybe.
Okay.
He had no air conditioning. So they had two big garage, you know, the industrial center garage doors that go up, the roll up ones on chains and just big ass airplane fans.
Yeah, big old fans. You know,
following the show.
Right.
You know, they pretty much conceded at this point that they don't even care about having a fan base for the show. They just want entry fees. That's it. That's all they want. Because I guarantee you, no one was on Muscular Development eagerly following David Bay's play-by-play of the bikini callouts.
A deadlifting platform. They have it, you know, everything that, you know, any kind of serious, you know, high-level powerlifter would use.
You guys do so much powerlifting down there. Do you, the school that your son has gone to, where he went to high school, did they have powerlifting as a sport there?
And there's probably 30 or 40 rows, and there's nothing going on. So it's a strange thing. I mean, it really is based on that entry fee, that NPC card. And I understand it's a business. They've got to pay the bills, and that's what they're setting out to do. But
how are they paying?
Lifting, you know, like deadlift platforms. I mean, chalk stations at every one. And then there's like a separate gym that has all the, you know, machines and stuff in it. It's not even in the same room.
Hmm.
So, I mean, and I would say that room with all the racks in it is probably 2,000.
I remember, I won't say the name of the state, but I do remember that even one of the state NPC websites was .org for the longest time. Yeah. So if it's a .org, how are you turning this into a profitable business all of a sudden? It should be at least
sanctioned and judged. Most of the time, the Texas A&M powerlifting team is the ones that judge it.
Oh, okay.
They're certified judges. And, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal, man. I mean, it's a
game where rather than trying to pick the hardest competition to go up against and thus having stacked fucking shows with fierce competitors and fierce competition, rather, you know, these competitors are trying to find a small show where they can take a win so they can get their Olympia qualification, which, you know, you go into these shows and it's like, oh.
Conditioning the athletes down there.
Yeah, you know, I looked off into space like I'm just really pondering this topic in a deep way. I could go on and on about it.
Even on the national level, it's just going to not be that exciting.
Right.
Which kind of blows from a fan's perspective, but hopefully I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I haven't been wrong about anything so far with all this shit.
Well,
so.
Even in gym culture, I mean, you go to the gym now, and at least when I first started lifting.
As sports do to kids who are in the bottom end of the middle class and who are, I don't want to say in poverty, but aren't as well-to-do. Hmm. And I think it's in part because they don't have as much to do, but they also don't have as many options when it.
Bodybuilding hit critical mass with him and Ronnie, meaning you couldn't really take it further. And after thinking about it more, I think our culture hit critical mass, meaning where American culture is at, it cannot support bodybuilding getting any cooler than it got with Dorian and Ronnie.
And I dealt with this when I lived in Evergreen when I was coaching baseball because it was very upper middle class and all these parents had sent their kids to, you know, private lessons since they were four. And it was very difficult for them to grasp. Like they were
they're bodybuilders, if you will.
Right.
So and even, I think you're gonna see a tipping point in that, unfortunately, which is why, you know, you're seeing the other ranks grow, men's physique and classic physique, and bodybuilding is backsliding and the numbers are down further and further.
I mean,
I think as a culture, though, I feel like in the South, they're more into, like, the community gets behind the football team, right? You know what I'm saying?
Don't have other sports in out in rural nowhere land out
right,
in Texas.
Right. You know, I mean, so like who or like look at like,
clearly you're probably too aggressive. They have a lot of preconceived ideas of what you are as a person. Whereas you meet anybody over that 30, 35 and above, they look at you and go, "Wow, this looks really cool. I mean, what are you doing?" I remember this.
Plays out of it's like five schools, I think five or six, and it holds. It's bigger than a lot of the college stadiums I've seen. I think it holds like 25,000 or 30,000 people.
Wow!
And on Friday night, that summit just packed to the gills, mm-hmm. You know, top to bottom.
Yeah. Their opinion of all things Boston Lloyd. And while most are busy trying to moralize and figure out his exact ethical ranking in the grand scheme of things, I thought it might be a little more interesting to actually see why he does the crazy shit that he does. Is it a sham?
Seem to be dominant when they're 18 and they're seniors. You know, it kind of... But, you know, sometimes you can look at the gene pool they come from. I mean, there's kids that come from professional athletes, and they tend to be pretty good. Now, I would say that sometimes... They are really...
As I said, I kind of wanted to have Boston on tonight to do things a little bit differently. You know, he was one of our first guests when we first recorded Geared Up back in the day. Second or third guest, I don't remember. You know, everybody has kind of turned Mr. Boston Lloyd into the whipping child of the industry.
Hey, we need to be pulled back in by Scott, so I apologize. But
that's all right.
I see that it's about the same thing.
I was just going to try to squeeze in as much bodybuilding as we can on this show.
We did. We got football.
I wanted to ask you about your training was the other thing I wanted to try to hit before we went to
guest pose on stage. So I was on stage at the age of five.
in the junior, before the NPC introduced the junior division.
Yeah, no,
you were pioneering the way.
I guest posed with my mom, and I did, you know, a couple shows actually. Big Lonnie Teeper, you guys, you know.
Most anybody, I fucking hate TRT now. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's like going 200 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you got to do the speed limit at 55. It kind of sucks.
And how long are you taking?
Only it'll be a total of almost 12 weeks. So,
okay.
But that's only because I'm going.
Every time my dad would go, I would just, "Oh, Dad, when are we going to leave?" You know, and
kind of resentful.
Yeah, because they were trying to push it on me at that point. You know, and at the beginning, I didn't push it at all. It's just something I like to do. You know, I was eating clean with them. And they always had chicken and string beans and, you know, all
as much as it. I'm increasing huge on reps and things like that. I go up and weight on some things, but I'm down, excuse me, about 7 pounds.
Wow.
So to be down and holding, and I'm bringing, some of that is coming back because my body composition has changed.
Just kind of spurted off. And like I said, my parents were both bodybuilders. They, you know, my dad never hid steroid use from me. My stepdad, I would say, would be probably the reason why I'm honest to this day, though. My stepdad would show me his shots, you know, when I was
young. And it's just funny because the only thing I've done is increase my calories a little bit.
Yeah.
My recovery is better. I'm sleeping more, and my sleep routine is very consistent. But it's going real well. I mean, I only have 5 more weeks, and then I can step on the gas again.
Now, my stepdad was like, I think he still holds the record for like over 55 raw bench of like 585 or something.
It's pretty freaky. Yeah. But it's funny. I think it was Dave Tate. I'm not sure, but someone said, you know, the main difference between powerlifters and bodybuilders is that bodybuilders kind of always...
For a couple weeks and baby it and let it come back around. Hmm. And I haven't done that yet.
Okay. You still, you don't want to try BPC, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't. And it's funny because even just going back on...
It's funny. Ed Connors gave my dad his first steroid shot. You guys, you know who Ed Connors is.
Sure, we had him on the show.
Oh, you did? See,
I'm geared up, yeah.
My dad was, you know, big in it, so he never really hid it from me, but, you know, they didn't take – the drugs were different, you know. My dad was like, oh.
A little bit higher, things like that.
You got to heave them.
It's not – and maybe sometimes on side laterals. That's about it. It's not – or if I were to do dumbbell presses or heavy flies or something like that. But it's not like doing biceps or training back. I can train back and there's no issue.
When we get to leave, this is boring. Come play with me, you know. So I feel you completely on that front. But when you picked it back up around the age of 16, did you actually enjoy training? I mean, did you love it? Did you love the eating process, all of that?
I did, man, because I was not forced. I signed.
Most people know that. But anyway, it's not a prime mover. It's not anything that's going to be – you know, I was even told that if I just ripped it right from the bone, which apparently you can't, or it's very difficult to do, so I guess it's not that you can't. that even then you could still train. You would just
there feel the way they do towards you because they think you don't have love for the game, so to speak. You know, you're just about the end result and the drugs and the pharmaceuticals and all that, and you could give two shits about the training side. I mean,
the training and the diet, it's always there. You know, if you, to be a bodybuilder, it's always there. Everyone knows.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear, only here on the Advices Radio Network. And thanks for not fast-forwarding through our ad. I'll make it really quick. We're sponsored by True Nutrition. You can go to True Nutrition.
Everyone wants to talk about the diet and the training. So for me, that's not, it's not an interesting topic. You know what I mean? It's like, eat your chicken and your rice, you know? Fucking
right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just not interesting to me.
Sure. So that said, I mean, with you when you were training back in the day or even
intro workout combo that I have ever used, and I'm super happy with it. When I run out of my current multivitamin, I'm going to give a try to their whole food multivitamin, and I'm also going to do the same with their omega-3 fish oil caps. So you can support the network.
That's the strongest stuff I've ever taken in my life to this day, man. Like, I was strong as fuck.
It's funny you say that. I was like one generation before you, and we were – I was like the generation right after Androstenedione Dione. So we had
diet coaching for I believe it's been over 20 years now. I've learned so much from Skip in the last couple of years doing this podcast, and I learned so much from him from before that, listening to him on other podcasts and from reading
his – because it was the only variable change that I had, but – it was real, and that stuff was strong back in the day. And it seemed also that the side effects to it were a lot safer and less harsh than the later compounds that screw up your liver a little more, put pressure.
If you go to forum.advicesradio.com, in the bodybuilding section, there are threads for all the shows that are stickied at the top. So we are in the Blood, Sweat, and Gear thread. Let's see, King Rob, this is his first post. He says, what's going on, guys?
They had Halodrol, M-Drol, all this crazy stuff, and I've never felt a drug like that. And the fuck that thing, man, is they would sell them at your local nutrition store. You know, not GNC, but your local under. And you know, I would go in there, and it would say take two caps. I take two.
Amateur show, and I'm working towards a WBFF in the future. My current cycle includes Testy 250 twice a week. EQ 150 twice a week, then Sustanon.
I have that M-Draw on eBay. It's like $500.
Well, I think it's because anyone, you know, everyone I've spoken to that used like the original Superdrol and everything, it's like they never got that experience from anything else.
I use Superdrol for my show, like from this underground lab. Dude, I was like, what the fuck? This shit is garbage. It just fucked my stomach up.
But, I mean, for future reference, what do you like about Parabolin better?
It works better. I don't know. It's less side effects. I get less sides from it. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got Trenny. You can run Trenny. I would get, you know, there's some.
I remember that you were working with Matt Porter at the time. And yeah. It was like literally I was 1 week out from a show. Okay. And I remember 2 days after the interview with you and Adam, I fucking, that was when I blew out my ulnar nerve with an injection in my room.
Week of the E, he could run like 300 of the test or 400, something like that.
Yeah, I found Trini for me personally, it just gave me more side effects. I didn't like it. I know a lot of people that have preferred it, but when I used it, I preferred Ace. I never had used the Hex version, but outside of that.
Because you know what? No one showed up.
Well, that was also probably right around the cusp of the sport where we started seeing this huge transition from giant, giant classes of bodybuilders to just dwindling classes, you know? Yeah. So you were probably right in on that cusp. Because what, a year or two before that?
I don't think it's as important as we're putting into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, diet's everything. I know the drugs aren't going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, they make a difference, but they're really helping you hold on to muscle more in a caloric deficit.
Kind of blew their minds. You know, it really shocked everybody, obviously. I think the big question is, do you still stand by most of what you put out originally? Or rather, how have you modified your views, say, in the last 3-4 years about gear, you know, anabolics, the drug?
You know, you say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. Then you run into some dude who just looks like $1 million. And he's like, what did you do, dude? Oh, I just ran like a gram of test, Cypionate. You know, the whole time. Yeah. It's like, okay. You know, so it kind of makes, I think people are trying to overcompensate and overthink.
The dose that I recommend that I should use you guys would be like, wow, that's like a good cycle. But then I tell you the shit that I run, like I just got off the craziest probably off-season cycle I've ever ran, guys. And I made
tell us what it was.
I'll tell you what it was, but I made fucking zero progress.
Listen to people online that say, oh, I did this, that. Well, I mean, do you really know they did that? You know, or is it just parroted information? A lot of it's just parroted information. You know, people do one. Somebody does something, they look really good, and then the whole world thinks they got to do it. Where, you know, that's not the case in a lot of.
So, guys, I got my blood work in the middle of this cycle, right? And I'm not kidding you guys. I could even fucking give you the shit to post if you want for fucking views, whatever. I swear to God, guys, my blood work was fine. My test was through the roof, okay? My estrogen was low, which was weird. It was in the
profiles on Parabolin. They're almost going to be word for like verbatim.
Yeah.
Like
exactly. Same spacing, same spelling mistakes.
It's like one guy created all the profiles and then everybody else stole it and plagiarized it and cut and pasted.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly,
I felt like shit because it was mainly because the GH. So my T4 was tanked. That was the only thing. My T3 was, you know, my TSH was still going, but my T4 was shot. Probably from all the fucking GH I was running. But honestly, guys, like GH, when I hear that these guys are running.
Metabolism you have or anything. If you're lean, you're not going to hold well. Like, you can take Anadrol and you're going to still be hard as fuck. So a lot of it is, well, DECA makes you hold water. It does, but that's pretty much being told to you by someone who's
fat. Push it. Not for a show, but just for me. And I wasn't paying attention. So I had these Humotrope pens, and I was hitting them. And over the course of a day or two, because I'd opened up a new one on a Friday, over the course of a day or two, I just felt really...
I don't necessarily think it's bad. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with paying attention to detail and making sure all your bases are covered.
Sure.
But I do think you can get away with a lot more than what we think we can. We just want all of our bases covered. We don't want to make the wrong decision and go, oh, shit, I should have treated that with more...
Finally dawned on me that when I had opened up my Humotrope pen, which was a 72 IU pen, it was almost gone. And I had been measuring.
Oh, are these the 72? Because that's what I use my farm as Humotrope. It's the 72 IU little cartridges.
Yeah. So I
in his first shows, this guy is kicking everybody's ass, taking DECA. Not necessarily. I didn't say anybody's name. And the truth is this was told to me straight from his mouth that he was using DECA to get ready for those first few.
Moving as I washed my head in the shower. It felt like a carpet on a hardwood floor that was slipping around. Like, you could just see it rolling up and down, and I thought, this is horrible. So while I was at the beach that day, it dawned on me that my units were that high. And
I guess, you know, it might not be ideal, but that's, like, my only argument against you if I were to try, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly, and I agree. I even think, though, too, like I said, if you're going to do it, you want to do it right, and you want to make sure your bases are covered, and we all do that. But in reality, if you're just going to get lean as hell...
I'm good at diagnosing myself and fixing the issue, but, man, this is some scary stuff. Oh, wait, I'm an idiot. Never mind.
So you got your IGF-1 levels testing everything when you were doing that, Boston?
Yeah, you know what's funny, man, is I even talked to Dave about this. So a lot of people think your IGF levels, it's automatically, if you're on real GA...
Who's going to get shredded and be big anyway? So there's
that. yeah.
You know.
All right, he had one more follow-up. So once again, he was 24, 5'10", 205, 9% to 11% body fat. He also says...
So, taking away the, you know, quote-unquote addiction portion of it, using just your rational side, you know, over the years, what have you found, now that you've boiled it down and experimented, you know, relentlessly, what do you think is your optimal, quote-unquote, optimal off-season stack versus pre-contest?
What's he doing?
I don't know. Somebody's in his house, I guess.
His cat. That fucking cat's there.
We can't hear him.
Because fine. You guys know him, and he's cool with all you guys, like Adam and stuff, and I don't want to
that.
But I'll tell you the dosages, and the dosages were like 500 test every day, 400 EQ every day, and 100 tren every day. And to me, that was...
Or 44 in growth, to me, is night and day. I think to get the same effect, and let's see if S2H shoots me down on this or if he agrees. To get the same effect, 24 compared to 44, you almost have to, like,
Right.
I'm trying to, like, I'm a family guy, man. Like, we're trying, you know, me and Ariel are trying for kids. And I've always been a family guy. Like, I've never been, like, your typical industry guy going to the Olympia Expo and, you know, Rich Piana booth. I've never been that type of guy anyways. But, like, I've always had
so much more benefit from using growth, in my opinion, than someone who is younger like that. I think you have to, I don't want to say megadose, but I mean, you got to take a lot more growth when you're younger to have kind of the same effect as when you start to get up into the
You know, testosterone back in then, you know, when the bodybuilders were at their best in 1990s and stuff, and even Chad Nichols preaches this stuff, is, you know, test is only a base to, you know, keep the side effects low and to keep the other drugs working properly. And, you know, anything in excess is just too much. And I've learned, for me at least,
get there, and that's pretty lean to already be at. It's not like he would need it or something to get, you know, harder. I'm sure that he could make some dietary changes and do that.
Yeah.
I'll go on to the next one. Do you guys use any SARMs yourself, prescribe them?
Running multiple compounds at lower dosages.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's interesting for listeners to hear that, you know, you're not doing 10, 12, 15, you know, grams per week.
I was just that one show when you guys had me on. I got those stealth packets from Allen Shop. And I was just shooting like five.
And that they've used them in place of using gear. So I've understood dosing on various products. And I've seen things carried out, especially by guys that have been natural otherwise, and they wanted to start dabbling. And I could say that none of them have been like great either way.
Infection or
abscess. Yeah, no, like if I shoot tests now, man, like I'll give you an example. If I shoot like some test cypionate or something, and like it swells me, I won't use it because I know that test sip shouldn't fucking do that. You know what I mean? But stuff like water-based Winnie and suspension, like those, I mean, it's kind of hard to get.
Also, I don't know, males, you can get a little bit out of them. I think they're overhyped. And yeah, anything new, it's kind of like anything new that comes out, wait a year and then see what's up.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise, I'd go into private MD labs and they only had one that had like your cholesterol and liver enzymes and shit. My liver was perfect. I mean, but yeah, if something was to happen, man, it just depends. It really depends how bad, and it really depends because I'm not competing anymore. Now, would I come off completely? No, I would probably bring it down to like 200.
Long. You don't know all of a sudden if maybe one testicle is going to end up being 4 pounds in a couple of years. You never know.
Yeah.
There are no studies. There isn't the background with these, you know, with these compounds like there are with growth hormone. And I like things. I like predictability.
1 millimeter nerve rejuvenation within every month. So, I mean, it could take years and years. But, yeah, that was crazy, man. That was the worst pain I've ever experienced to this day was that day. But, man, that was crazy. I don't know. I took, like, a good, like, 3 months off of training and steroids. And
20 hours of your day is research about all these compounds that you can take that you can still remain natural, but some of them are questionable anyway because, I don't know, the FDA hasn't gotten a hold of them and made them illegal yet.
Right, right.
You need to work with somebody else because I don't have – that's not
– using my downtime and my shitty-ass fucking physique, and I knew I was going to make a comeback, which I did. I made another transformation, and my business sparked again. So basically, man, if you look good – I've noticed this. If you look good year-round, everyone's okay, he looks good year-round. I've made my
– true, and it's very true in our industry with supplements and borderline. It's true with everything, really. The large 99% of things are overhyped. They run their cycle. They get hyped. They run their cycle. Everybody has to do them. And it's not just supplements. Sometimes it's training.
Normal average person is like that, and they want to be like, okay, he looked like me, and I could look like that. And that's why I get so many clients that come to me for weddings or whatever because they want to, and I'm not going to bullshit them, you know?
Sure. Well, and again, like I always pursued mine more with just hardcore dieting. I didn't get into the drug component.
And I can't disagree with that. And I have to be careful because I've always said and told people, hey, think outside of the box. Think outside of the box. So it seems and could be argued that, Skip, you're saying and you're telling people to think outside of the box, but then you're chastising them for getting outside of the box.
Keep, you know, some kind of revenue.
That's the that's the hardest part. I mean, it's there are days when you don't want to live the lifestyle because you want a bowl of pasta and you want to live up for a week and not remember to do all the little things a bodybuilder has to do over the course of a day and a week.
In some way, by doing something that someone else isn't doing.
Yeah.
So occlusion training, just for the record, I don't want to get stuck on this, but that has been around before. This is not a new invention.
Right.
This isn't a reinvention of the wheel. This is like, oh, like someone tripped over it when they were looking online and went, oh,
sorry. After you've gotten up to 12, 13% and things aren't so so lean anymore, then they kind of blow you off.
I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of bodybuilders are afraid to admit that everyone. I don't care who the fuck you are. I don't care if you're
20 years younger.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, that's just better old man. Okay.
I can see it.
I'll live with that label. But tell me that there's not truth to that.
I can see it.
Thank you.
You know, I do think that there are things that are being added.
All turned into this big dick contest, meaning like your moral worth is all determined by how hardcore you are. And to me, like, first of all, I think that is a disservice to everyday people. You know, the people that, like, do fuck up on their diet, and I don't care who you are, but...
I'm not trying to take away from anybody who is younger, right, who is good at what they do.
Right,
because
right.
A lot of what you do, and being good at it as, say, a prep guy, is a lot of evaluation and assessment and an...
Even though you say that, I mean, yeah, of course I changed that mindset, but I can't do it every time. I probably can't even do it, right, 50% of the time, because there are just days where you think... I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this, but I have to because I'm in the middle of a program. Things exactly. have to get better, and you have to carry it out. I mean, it's almost like a job.
And have him come in flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not. It's not going to happen because he can't go flat. He's been in the ER sick and dehydrated, and he still isn't flat. Yeah. Now, he might be a little off from what
3 fucking weeks. But then when I'm diet, I can also admit when I cheat or if I don't cheat. But it's always like people in denial, I feel like.
Right. Well, no, and I also think that some of it is a function of age and maturity, meaning like when I first started doing this, it was all about I love to see.
You know what I mean?
And I'm trying to clarify just to make sure that people understand I'm not bashing young prep, like right now, yeah, with, you know, what I'm saying and what I posted online. I'm not bashing young prep guys for
pretty young. And he was good shape year round, you know, real lean, thick as shit, had a 800 pound dead, you name it, just huge guy. And we all said, why don't you compete someday? Why don't you do a show? And he was legitimately accomplished in the powerlifting world with, you know, some substantial records. And he would
them and have always said, I've been the first one and a huge advocate to make sure that you respect and give credit to the people who came before you that you did learn from.
But you know, I'll say this too. I feel like a lot of times I don't even
earn the right to love his pizza and beer by paying his dues over time. So that was my first take on that different perspective. Like, oh, you know, the winner isn't the guy that is the most miserable. The winner's the guy that just accomplishes the task regardless of how you accomplish it.
Exactly.
So.
It appears maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe somebody hit me and go, no, that's not true. Okay. But I don't see any indication that they're even thinking about it like you just said you did.
It's the part of it, I think, is just looking at your history. You know what I mean? And appreciating kind of the bigger part.
Bad influence on the youth, so you got to go drink this hemlock and kill yourself. Not that you're the new Socrates, but it is kind of an interesting parallel there. The point being, anytime you're putting out some controversial information, especially if there's possibly some truth behind it, it's very easy for people to...
The industry. I think it's getting better, believe it or not.
Well, Matt Marshall, I hope that answers your question about SARMs.
This is going to be the day of tangents, and it's all my fault.
All right, we have a big one here.
Talking about your steroid use, you're going to get your door busted. And this same guy, 5 months later, saw how much attention it brought and came out with his own podcast, and the main topic was PEDs. So, you know what I mean? So a lot of the same guys that have hated on me, all
showtime now. I think I've got my plan locked in for pre-contest, so my focus turns to the post-show rebound phase of 6 to 8 weeks following the competition. And my question references something I recall Dr. Scott mentioned on Muscle Mind.
Honestly, Boston, had you not done it, somebody else would have done it soon after. Yeah. Because we're just...
With social media, because remember, social media was hitting at that point anyways.
Right. Yeah, we're just in an era where, like, with the internet, you can't keep shit in the bottle anymore. The genie's out of the bottle. So, I mean, even with... Look at the government a few years...
Wait a second. Faster rate. I lost my spot here. Than desired... And a way around this is to put the carbs in only around training, but the other meals simply raise the protein.
It's silly. You look at that whole movie and think, why would they ever think that people behave like this when smoking pot? And now it's legal in how many states, and the states that aren't going to make it legal in the next 10 years are going to look foolish based on the actual behavior of humans. So with what we're going through...
Would not have carbs. Non-training days would consist of protein and fat only. So you guys get the gist of the question. He put out a bunch of some specific numbers here, but I'd rather talk about it just a little bit more.
Compound that actually works. Now he's some evil person, and it's just it's a weird thing, because if you're able to sift through philosophically and understand what is right and what's wrong and the differences. You start to really question society.
It's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. At the same time, I want to make clear to people that it's difficult to give specific numbers, even if he gives specific numbers, because I know him because I've worked with him before. But it's also been 7 or 8 years since I've worked.
I really stay at home and I don't have much of any friends. Is because obviously bodybuilders are the only one that understands this. And what I've – the mixed personal experience that I've had with bodybuilders is not the best. They're usually little shitheads. But, I mean, yeah, like
– pretty much your carbs are at, say, 100 or 200 a day. If you double your carbs for the first week or two and don't change anything else, you're probably going to be just fine and fill out, not add much, if any, body fat over that time. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Carbs are...
But at the same time, the way the government paints it, like, you know, society's going to crumble and fall apart if you use some testosterone. I mean, they're still trying to make hormone replacement therapy basically illegal.
Well,
and they're so incredibly against it.
And it's also funny because the people buy it and they see people... Not
the fat there. You got to be satiated when you don't have the carbs in there.
Okay.
And then he's saying keep carbs out of non-training days. I'm not against that. I don't think it's a bad idea, maybe even just to start and to evaluate, and then potentially add some carbs back into, you know, if you're going from
something, because it's so fucking taboo that, I mean, with most people, if you try saying, you know, I don't think steroids are that bad, they will look at you like you're speaking Greek. They'll say, what the hell is wrong with you?
They think, because they remember too, steroids involve needles. They automatically, anything with needles.
Working with people who control your nutrition and your plan and coming off of shows can be good, because then your hunger, you're not going to be biased by how hungry you are and try to convince yourself, oh, I'm just growing.
You know where, I notice personally? I see it in my digestion. If I'm overdoing it, my digestion starts.
I started to talk about it a little more openly, whether it's on the message boards or on Geared Up or whatever.
The guys that don't have big contracts, I see coming out.
Right.
Like, you want to know something, man? Is I think most of these guys are coming out with half truths. Like, it's just fucking, they tell you quarter.
Like, you're full and it's time for another meal.
Yep.
Yeah, probably not a great idea. You know, you can put that meal off for another hour or so and see. Yeah. That's a very good point. Yep.
Scott?
Yep.
That's what I figured. I wasn't sure.
Tapani, he put on muscular development one time. I remember the shit. This is after I came out with my video, and there was like a 50-page forum. And Evan says he's never ran more than 500 mg of test in the offseason. I didn't believe that shit once.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, I remember...
I've been fluctuating between 18 to 24% body fat for 2 years now. I can't seem to be consistent enough to get to my goals. 12%, I blast and cruise. Blasts are always less than a gram, but cruises are usually 250.
It's funny. If you want, I'll text you his name. But, I mean, it's insane, man, because this guy obviously knows what he's doing, and these guys are running 3 to 4 grams a test.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, I've known personally a couple pros that have been close to that 3 gram mark of test alone.
Then I figured I should give up on being lean and just put on muscle, and I eventually got back to 20% area and feel fat and gross, then started to cut the calories again. I never make much progress getting lean and put
in.
I have no doubt of that. And again, you know, I'm friends with Kevin, so I'm not trying to be rude. I don't think he's honestly, I don't think he's going in there to try to win. I think he's going in there to create some excitement in a sport that has lost all of its excitement, is the reality.
Yeah, no,
get there. I see what he's saying. Grow. Okay, I'll just – he's speculating as to what he might want to do here. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I know my response will have nothing to do with anything else he says.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Scott. Want it?
Even with – like, Rulli put out this video recently where he's going to eat the anabolic chicken and all that stuff. The point is, these last couple of years, people have started to, you know, and the top-level athletes have started to talk more openly about it. And I really think that part of what drove so much...
It's really, really unfair.
Yeah.
Now, there are... you know, there are things, I mean, I guess you can have, you know, minor surgeries to either remove skin or tighten up, and I understand that, but then you have to, I think people who struggle with loose skin will also struggle.
Like, there's no way. And I've come to that conclusion, and I've competed 9 times, and I've enjoyed most of it, but now with all the new divisions and stuff, I just, my passion has died. You know, I love the actual prep, and I love the progress. And right. Everything else, but the actual...
No, the person who asks the question knows. So if the person asking the question can honestly say, no, that's not what, then call me on it.
That's and a good I'll, point. That's I'll a very good that. Point. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it's just a, that's just a reality. A
bunch of pageant shit to it that isn't bodybuilding and call it bodybuilding, which is what yeah, they've done.
They thought it would help the bodybuilders, but I don't think it is.
No, they didn't.
Well, you know, no, what I'm saying is they actually try to preach that they, you know, it helps bring everyone and all this stuff. But the thing is now the judging is weird because now they got classic and
it's the ceiling fan metaphor.
Did you make that up or did you hear that somewhere?
No, I actually made. I think I do some of my best thinking three times. Looking at the ceiling fan at night while I'm lying in bed.
Don't say pooping.
It's come in really good shape. You know, you work with Matt Porter and stuff and. You're the other David on the line. Which your last name is Smith, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've seen you. You're like a big ass dude. You carry a fuckload of muscle. What show are you doing?
I don't know. What, you mean coming up?
Understand how it could, then don't bother to lose the weight.
Mm.
The other thing I will tell this person, anybody else who deals with loose skin, if you do lose a lot of weight, sometimes the skin will get tighter. It just can't yep. keep up with the how fast or how quickly you're losing the body fat. So
May.
Yeah, dude, you're fucking big, man. Fuck.
Well, funny thing, Boston, I was actually planning, so we were both planning on doing Lehigh Valley, which is in Pennsylvania in May. I was planning on doing that as my qualifier, re-qualify, and then doing my first national shows this year.
It's gone? There's going to be loose skin there. What the hell?
I don't know, but no one's coming to my house to arrest me, so...
That would be me.
But you know what I mean, though? Like
sudden moves there.
loose skin. It's going
to... There was just too much shit that was making me...
Personal losses as in, like, a family member?
Well, like, Dave Smith and I, one of our friends passed.
Oh, okay.
And just I had some business ventures go south. I just had my fingers...
Oh, wait, I think I know. Was it that guy that nobody knows what happened to him? I remember that.
No, it was our friend.
Maybe a little more.
Wow.
Before he ever even worked out. Like 5'10". So he goes down to like, I think it was 240, 250 or something. And he wanted to do a physique competition because he had a friend that was doing it.
Last two episodes geared up. I usually don't listen to the show, but now that I'm not on it, listening to it, just to kind of see if I can, you know, fine tune my skill set, if you will. And Adam brought Chris back up on one of the episodes. I don't think it was ever 100% established, you know, what the cause of death was.
Wow, man.
Right. Now he did have some issues in the stomach, right below the navel, but he could afford it, and so he had the surgery and the laser thing done. It was kind of expensive. I think I don't remember, 10 grand, 15 grand, but that got rid of all of it at that point. I mean, there was no...
But the funny thing is, you know, with, not to abruptly shift gears, but, you know, Smith and I were both planning on doing Lehigh Valley, and literally 3 days before, you know, I a month before that, I ended up jumping into a show in Virginia just because my wife was doing it, and I wasn't at 100%
skin, you know, come back around. Because, you know, if you go up, down, and put weight back on and go back down, your skin's just like, think of a piece of chewing gum. You're pulling it apart, putting it back together. It's, you know, you got a lot of elasticity in there, and it's not gonna tighten up for you right away.
And then I was going to do Junior USA's 8 weeks after, and after that show, man, after Ariella had slapped my dream 10 on, I knew... After I had shaved and shit, I knew I was done, man.
That was when you did the meth last time?
No. When I did my recent show in April.
Okay. Out more. Actually, you dry out more. Sometimes it gets worse. Mm. You want to be dry, but you have to be full. So any competitor who's dealing with, and I know this firsthand because I've dealt with this personally, and nothing makes you feel older than being in really good shape and then looking at a small...
Like 6-7 weeks out and those photos start leaking in and the training videos go up. It feels like Christmas time, where like I'm getting more excited by the day.
I'm excited too, man. I am, yeah.
And I feel like I'm getting scammed.
Are you so excited that you'll actually go and spend money, or you'll watch it on your big screen?
I've
up and you pull on it a couple times to make it more elastic so that it will, you know, expand more. So what happens is that a lot of that is in the stomach area because the stomach expands, it gets smaller. Not just from getting fatter and getting leaner, but from
the Olympia, like basically watching Ronnie give history away, kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. Well, then, you know, of course, with Geared Up growing and us doing a lot more stuff, last year Adam went to the Olympia, I went out to the Olympia, and just, you know, I just don't like Vegas and the Olympia.
Two things you do. You pose around it. It's almost like you don't hunch over as much on an ab thigh. You stay up taller, but you still crunch into the pose. But the other thing is you have to be full to the point where you need to be full versus bone dry and slightly fat.
Still, the competitors put more into it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it definitely gets expensive, man.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not going back this year, but I'm still waiting to see where they're going to hold a webcast because I don't even think that's been announced yet.
I'm looking at Smith's photos right now, Davidson. Dude, you could be like a fucking...
Vacuums. Did you? I don't know if you've seen it or not, but Juan is hitting a crazy vacuum, and he got Josh just... So, basically, Josh was inspired, and so he's been practicing vacuums. And you know, people are... So, I think, and I hope this is true... That you can
geared up for him, like of a most muscular, and I'm 271 in that picture.
Do you have a partial pec tear?
Yep. Well, my left pec completely tore off the bone with the tendon, and they repaired it back in fall of 2009.
Okay, because I just had a partial pec tear in my.
Is that a transformer? What is that?
It's a drone over your house, Skip.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's really unnerving because I don't like things like that.
What the hell is that, dude? It sounds like a transformer.
It sounds like someone above.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Then the tendon's still got to be intact. See, when I tore mine, the next few days afterwards, I couldn't bring my... you know how when you do a cable crossover, your hands come together?
Yes.
Well, I knew that my chest was screwed completely when I couldn't bring my hands...
Yeah, that was what?
Yeah, I want to make sure I was on the same topic as you with the TVA. I just didn't know.
No, go. Finish what you were saying.
Well, my point was just that I think that there could be something, there is a theory there where.
Well, no, I've been at everyone that has pec tears, I ask them because I'm curious because I could train mine like 85%. Like some movements still are a bit fragile. And if I hit a most muscular, there's a slight indent. And, you know, I'm not competing anymore, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's still like...
Better TVA development, the V going down the hips, than you will on older guys who might have even better abdominal development. So there may well be something there. Absolutely. And it would be nice if that were the case.
I could see that.
Because I kind of felt people would miss the point that I was driving at. And sure enough, you know, 3 years later, here we are, kind of covering this point. I think that... Personally, one of the coolest things about bodybuilding is that there's no textbook or there's no script. You know, there's a lot of pioneers.
Insulin.
Depends what kind of insulin.
Well, Novolinari said.
Something medium acting.
Yeah.
I like oatmeal. Actually, oatmeal used to work pretty good. It kind of depends on the person, too, because, you know, some people...
You mentioned that, you know, it's almost a compulsion with this experimenting and trying different combinations. Why do you think that somebody like Dan Duchesne is looked up to while a lot of people are going to sit there and badmouth you for doing much the same thing? Why are you the bad guy?
I'm going to bet it depends on how much insulin he's using, but I'm going to guess he probably is not eating a ton of carbs outside of maybe the meal before and after that.
Okay.
That would just be an assumption, but I don't know what it, this is kind of those questions where Skip gave us a point, but
That's what I was going to say, if it's just because you're out there, whereas he was, by definition, underground.
People don't like that I could make a legit living sitting at my house preaching drugs. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest, guys, I have a pretty easy life. Like, I just sit at home all day and, like, you know, I...
I'm going to try to answer it the best I can, but at the same time, like Scott says, I don't even know, you know, what... the goal or motivation is outside of even the timing. I don't know what the guys
to hurt anyone else, you know, or BS anyone. So
have you had to date any run-ins from the law or, you know, any warnings or anything?
I've been arrested once in my life. It was 18 for stealing condoms, lube and almonds. Yep.
Sounds like a
people.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, cream of wheat or something that might be, you know, other fucking grains outside of rice. Anyway, but as far as how much, I think he mentioned the 10 grams of carbs per IU.
And I've been very fortunate that a few months after that, when I had moved, that I was able to, you know, I set up a forum on my website that got like 600 members right away, and I was able to get out of that illegal lifestyle because, you know, no matter how good the money is, it's not a life that I wanted to live. I was constantly paranoid.
Figure that out, right? You didn't start at that, right? You probably started a lot higher, which is, I think, what you would probably suggest someone else to do too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Start at the 10 and go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't do it if you're doing it pre-workout. Don't start at 10.
I mean, fuck, dude. It's the only thing that I use that I love. Like, I don't know, man. Synthol is a funny thing, man. Synthol works immediately. Like, you see instant gains, meaning, instant right away, but are you going to keep the instant stuff? No, you got to stay on it a while.
But you get pre-workout with your insulin dose. Okay. You got to be able to maintain blood sugar levels, and while you're training, that's difficult to do, so you better have an intracar.
Yeah.
And how much you're going to need is difficult because, like I say, are you training arms and calves, or are you training legs? How long?
Feels and functions, especially because you use, I don't want to say so much of it, but you're probably using a little bit more than the average Joe.
I've always used the recommended protocol. I never do more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've never shot more than 3 cc's into one little head. No.
To answer, because we need so much information.
Well, I think we gave him some direction, though.
Yeah,
we started at 10. I mean, it's like, how did you figure it out, I guess, would be the answer. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's when you start high, you start to work down. It's just like,
I didn't have enough room to shoot any synthol, so it was just all gear, and I was putting it all in my arms and shit. You would think that I would have some kind of, like, crazy scar tissue buildup and shit. You would think so, right? But I honestly, to believe it or not, man, my arms are like, I haven't used synthol since my show. That was in late March.
And I think you told it once here, but what was the gist of it again?
I was experimenting and with insulin. And so I left the gym, and I was – the gym I always went to, that I always went the same way home, not that far. I
haven't had any issues.
Interesting.
What muscle groups have you pinned with sight enhancement oil, and which muscle groups are you just refusing to try?
They only work – that's the thing. I've used it on bigger body parts. Like, for instance, I've used it on, like, my shoulders and stuff, and, like
– You don't want to do that, so – I was probably cutting it a little bit low on the carbs with it. So yeah, don't do that. If you end up in the Shell station in the candy aisle, looking like you're pulling off an oral.
I don't blame you. All right, everybody, this has been another edition of Beyond Driven Radio. It's hard for me to not say geared up. I'm not gonna lie. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Toodles.
Not much going on. I told you before you pushed the button. I did have a good time this weekend with my wife. My wife was trashed at a Brazilian steakhouse with some friends of ours.
Yeah.
Alex, you know Alex Withhold. Withhold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Germinator. And his
McNallyDiets@gmail.com. Thanks and keep listening.
Turn around. So we didn't do a whole lot on Mother's Day. She wanted to sit around and be on FaceTime with them and stuff, which was kind of nice. So it was just a chill. It was a chill weekend here. It was an old person chill weekend in South Florida.
And I know S2H, get out of here for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H. You guys can go to teamskip.com to find out more about Skip Hill. And, of course, go to TrueNutrition.com and use our code ADVICES. We will see you soon.
Out.